Well, I had a hard time keeping my mouth quiet when Pastor Dean was saying, "Do you have something to say about thankfulness?" I have a lot to say about thankfulness. First of all, when I look down at my wife, I have to say thank you, Lord, for a mate that has come alongside and has been a part of my ministry and been a great encouragement to every step of the way. But not only that, I am thankful for God leading us to this church. As I look out and see your faces, I feel at home. And so I want to thank you that you are a church with great compassion. You are a church who wants to reach out and touch the lives of other people. And when you make church changes, it's very difficult to be checking out to say, where do I belong? But I didn't have to look. I just came here because I'd already been here before. But probably the thing that touches my life the most is when I think of Christ. In my study, we put up a couple of pictures. And when I look out the window, just off to the side on my left-hand side, I have a picture. And all it is a simple cross. But under that cross, it makes this statement. It says, "These nails are not what held Christ to the cross. It was his love for you and for me." I've got in my hand right now one of those nails, like the ones that they find where many crucifixions took place. And what I want you to understand this morning, when we think about the compassion of God, every time that I look at one of these nails, I am so reminded that Jesus Christ was willing to come that you and I might be able to enjoy not only when we get to heaven, but right now to have a relationship with our sins forgiven, with a joy in our heart. And so when you look at one of these spikes that were driven into his wrists and into his feet, I want us this morning to be thankful. I want us to see what Jesus saw. And so this morning I want to talk about being called to compassion. I want to talk about this idea that believers are basically called to see what God sees. Have you ever thought about what Jesus saw when he hung on the cross? When he looked out at the people? I have a track actually in my pocket that when I'm speaking to people oftentimes about their relationship with the Lord, I will use this particular track because it gives a graphic picture with Christ hanging on that cross. But if you look at the faces, you see some with horror in their face as they watched Jesus hanging on that cross. Those disciples must have, as they looked into the face of Christ, when they saw him hanging on that tree and recognized that that should be me. I wonder what was going on in their heart. It shows a picture of another man standing there. You can almost see the guilt on his face. And he was thinking, "I'm the one who nailed him there." Can you imagine as that one soldier turned around and he said, "Surely this is God. Surely this is God." And when you and I look at that and others are looking and saying, "Oh Lord," that's exactly what God's calling you and me to. And as I look at those things, I want us to understand that you and I are called to see people as God sees people. But We're also fully on the nose, huh? But we're also called, basically, to be a people of compassion. Isn't that true? Ask yourself this morning, am I a person of compassion? Do I really understand what compassion is all about? Compassion is something more than just pity. It's more than just feeling sorry for someone. It is a willingness to enter into their pain, into their suffering, into their agony. And God reaches out and He said, listen, I loved you so much that I willingly went to the cross that I might become and enter in to the pain of your lostness. And so as you and I stop this morning and pause in thanksgiving, I want us to understand God's loving compassion. I want us to understand what God is calling to us. What is He calling us to? And that is His loving kindness. And that's what you're going to see this morning is several things. I want you to see God's loving kindness and His compassion as He deals with Moses and the children of Israel. I want us to see the loving compassion of God as He unfolds for us exactly when Moses turned around and said, who are you, Lord? I want to know you more personally. And God unfolded for us a revelation of Himself using three words that describe exactly what compassion and love is really all about. But I also want us to see our call. Now, with that in mind, I want you to take your Bibles because I want you to kind of climb into this with me, if you will, for just a minute. But in Exodus 33, we read these words. The Lord spoke unto Moses, and He said, I want you to depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought from the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, saying, to your dependents, I am going to give this. And I will send, now listen to this carefully, in Exodus 33, 2, or verse 2, I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. I'll drive out the enemy. But He said, I'm going to send you an angel. And He says, go up to the land that flows with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst because you are an obstinate people, lest I destroy you on your way. Can you imagine? Here's a God of love. Here's a God of compassion. Here's a God that says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. And now He's talking to the children of Israel. You know why He's saying what He's saying? If you get the context of it, the children of Israel, when we think about Moses and all of the things, and if you look at that Exodus chapter 3, He said unto them, the Lord said, I shall surely see the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have given heed to their cry. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come before me. And He said to Moses, now come, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people out of Egypt. So in order to get the story, you have to start with Exodus chapter 3 because Moses had already tried to deliver the children of Israel. He ended up out in the desert because he killed somebody who was treating an Israelite in the wrong way. Now he's out watching a bunch of sheep, sees a burning bush, and he turns around and he gets into a conversation with the bush. And then God's speaking to him, and He said, listen, I've seen the affliction of my people. I've come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians. Therefore, come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people out of Egypt. Moses turns around and he said, well, who in the world am I to do that? That I should go up to Pharaoh? And he said, certainly, I will be with you. You ought to score that under your Bible. You ought to mark that. He said, I will certainly be with you when you go. Now, they're out in the desert. They've had the law given to them. They turned around and while Moses was up getting the law, they were turning around making a golden calf. Remember? Now that's real compassion for God, isn't it? And so what happens is now all of a sudden, God turns around and he said, Moses, I still want you to take those people and go to the land that I promised you. I want you to take them. Go. But I'm not going with you. I'm going to send an angel. I'm going to send an angel. Well, now Moses had already he was making intercession on behalf, and he said, oh Lord, don't destroy them. Remember that? That's found in Exodus chapter 32. He said, Lord, don't destroy these people. What are the Egyptians going to say about that? And so he's making all kinds of intercession on behalf of that. And so the people are kind of watching to see what's going to happen now in chapter 33, where we're going to spend a little bit more of our time, if I have any. Moses turns around and the Lord said, depart, go, I will send an angel, and all of those things. And Moses said, well, I have a desire, Lord. And it starts with the Exodus chapter 33 and about verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, see, you do say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. You say, wait a minute, back in Exodus 3, he said, I'm going to send an angel, didn't he? He said, I'm not going with you. And Moses turns around and he said, Lord, you have not let me know who you're going to send by your name. And you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. And consider also that this nation is your people. You understand the compassion that's coming out of Moses? God had promised him all the way back. He said, I will be with you, Moses. By the way, that's singular. It's not plural. I will be with you. Moses, I'll be with you, but I'm not going with the people. Moses has interceded. And now all of a sudden they have a conversation between God the Father and Moses. And Moses is turning around and he said, listen, Lord, you tell me to bring up this people. You yourself have not let me know who you're going to send with me. What he's really saying is, Lord, are you going to go? You promised me way back that you would go with me. And God turns around and Moses is still saying, let me know your ways that I may know you, that I'll find favor, but I want you to consider these people. Moses moves from his own reaction to a compassion where he looked out the same as when Christ was hanging on that cross and he looked out and he saw the people, and one of those guys hanging beside him turned around and said, hey Lord, will you remember me? Now that's called compassion. And here he says in verse 14 of Exodus chapter 33, and he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. You know what the sinner needs? Do you know what each and every one of us need? We need rest. We are in a world that tears people apart. We are in a world that we need God working with us. And when he pleads and he said, if our presence does not go with us, I don't want to lead the people. Well, or how can it be known that I found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by you going with us? Now, he said, Lord, show yourself. Let me know your name. Let me know something about who you are. And what we're going to see is this. What we're really going to see is God's compassion unfolded here in Exodus chapter 33 and 34 in a threefold way, three little words. And he reveals himself, starting with Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory, Lord. Show me who you are. Show me the wonder of you. Show me your nature. Show me the things about you. And he said, I myself will make all of my goodness pass before you. If you underscore things in your Bible, you ought to underscore that. Because basically what it does is he begins to unfold for us the goodness of God, the compassion of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, all wrapped up. And that word goodness is a word that is all-encompassing. And it carries a lot of thought around the compassionate nature of God, because it means the beauty of God, the gladness of God, the joy of God. I will be with you, God. That's what it's saying when my goodness, it's an all-encompassing word, and it'll pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will tell you who I am. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show compassion on those whom I will show compassion. If you go over to chapter 34 and verse 6 and following, it says, the Lord passed by in front of him, and he proclaimed, I am Yahweh, I am the I am. And he said, I am the Lord God. I am compassionate, I am gracious, I am slow to anger, I am abounding in loving kindness. Now, the first word that I want you to look at is actually the order here. It says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I'm going to show compassion. Now in verse 6 of chapter 34, he says, I will have compassion, raham. That word, raham, compassion, is a word that is a compassionate love that a person has, translated sometimes mercy. God said, I will have mercy and I will have compassion on whom I'm going to have compassion. That very word, when you and I think about it, it comes originally from the root of the idea of womb. What it carries the thought of is, how does a mother act with a little child? You remember when you have kids? You remember how they would sometimes, when they're teething, all of a sudden they'd wake up in the middle of the night, or they would turn around and they would get a stomach ache, or they'd get an earache, or they'd get whatever it is. And right in the middle of the night when you're trying to sleep, you hear the cry of a little one, and you think, what time is it anyway? I got to get out of bed, make my way down there, and take care of this little one. And you're not so happy because you know you're going to have to get up in a couple of hours. And so you make your way down the hall over to that little crib, and as you look down and you see this little face in pain and hurting, The idea of getting up so early in the morning all of a sudden is gone. And this motherly love reaches down and picks up that little child and pulls it to herself. Did you know that God describes his own love as a love of compassion? He describes that love as a father has compassion in Psalm 103 and verse 13. Think about this. As a father has compassion, Rahum, on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy. That word mercy is Rahum. I will have compassion. Did you know that's an emotional word, but it's more than an emotional word? Because compassion carries the idea of, first of all, heart, of feeling the pain of another person, seeing their agony. It carries the idea of action. There it calls the idea of not only heart, that you feel and enter into their pain, but it also means something further, because it calls for an action, it calls for involvement. Did you know God wants you to be involved? God wants you to see what he sees. That kind of compassion, what is it? That kind of compassion is when you look out and you see that person hurting and you're willing to enter in to that pain and there's always a cost involved. There's a sacrifice, isn't there? Have you ever had compassion on people? It costs you. There's something to be paid. And so what you see in this compassion is a connection with the heart and the person who's in pain. There is a sacrifice that is to be made by the action that you take. Now that's the first thing that we find, is that if we look at God's loving kindness, if we look at God's mercy, if we look at his compassion, you find those elements involved, that almost motherly love, but yet fathers love the same way. But it goes beyond that, because as I look at it, I want you to think of Isaiah 54:10. And I don't know if that can get pulled up there or not. Isaiah 54 and verse 10. Let me read these words for you. He says, "For a brief moment I have forsaken you. With great compassion I will gather you. With everlasting love and kindness, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. My covenant of peace will not be forsaken, says the Lord of compassion." Now, when you and I look at it, not only does God say that he is going to be loving and compassionate, but as you look into these words in Exodus 33 and 34, the second word that comes to my mind is not just that compassion, but he said, "I will be gracious to who I will be gracious." Did you know that word gracious is the same kind of word that we get grace from? But it's actually, the first one is that compassionate love. The second word that is used when he's talking here and he's trying to describe himself, he turns around and what he's really saying to you and to me as we think about these words is that he says, "Listen, I will have grace on who I will have grace." That word grace is the same. I don't know how many of you have ever looked at the show The Gladiator. Remember when the emperor was there and the gladiators were out in the arena and the guy is down on the ground and the winner is supposed to just put him to death. He's waiting for the emperor to give a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Well, let me tell you something. What happens in God's grace when he said that he is going to have compassion and grace on whom I will have grace. And it means he's going to give you a thumbs up. And it's a sovereign decision. It's not how worthy you are. Did you realize that over here in verse 34, verse 6, he said, he passed in front of the Lord, turned around and he said, I am compassionate and gracious. That is, grace is unmerited favor. It's nothing that you have done. It is all the sovereign act of God that has turned around and reached into you and me and gave you a thumbs up. Understand it? He loves you enough to be emotionally involved. He loves you enough to be sovereign in reaching into your life. I don't know why God saved me, but he did. And he gave me a thumbs up and he said, listen, you accept my work on the cross and you are forgiven. And so when I look at that word of showing mercy and all of that, we come to a third word. Now think about it. He said, I'm gracious, I'm slow to anger, I'm abounding in love. That love is going to keep on going, but then I want you to notice one other thing. In 34:6 it says, the Lord passed by in front of him when he proclaimed that he was compassionate and he was gracious, showing grace. But he said he's also abounding in loving kindness. That's the way New American Standard translates it. That's the way NIV, I think, translates it. But the thought there is the idea of hesed. It's abounding in love. In fact, Psalm 25:6 says, remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindness. Your loving kindness. And as we think of that unique characteristic of God, Ruth chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, may the Lord deal kindly with you. Did you know that's a covenant love? That's what hesed means. An everlasting love. God not only emotionally loves you, God not only in graciousness loves you and deals with you, but what I want you to understand is that love is also described for you and for me as this loving kindness, this covenant love that God says, I will make a covenant with you of which I will never break. It doesn't matter what happens in your life, he still loves you. He still reaches out to you and to me. And I think that's exactly in that Isaiah passage in all of those areas, 34:10, which we had already looked at, but in Isaiah 34:10, let's read that one more time. Of God and where he says, thumbs up. When he turns around and he says, I want to make this covenant love relationship with you, where there is an abundant kindness that is ever reaching out to you. Micah 7 tells us this, who is God like unto you, who does not retain his anger forever because he delights in this hesed covenant love? Now let me say this. We know what God's love is like. We know the compassion that he's supposed to have. But you and I need to stop and think. What does that mean to you and me? It's Thanksgiving, isn't it? In the churches that I've pastored in the past, we always would take some families that were hurting and had special needs, and we'd put together a Thanksgiving dinner, and we'd bring it to them. When it was Christmas and you had these little kids that the parent, maybe there was a divorce and the mother was trying to just keep life together. And we would gather and give, and we'd get some presents and we'd bring those presents wrapped and hand them to the mother and say, put them under the tree. We don't care if you put your name on them. And God's reaching out and he's saying, listen, I am calling you to see what God sees, to see what Christ saw, and that is people that are hurting, people who need things. And just let me close with just saying these kind of things. I want you to not only be compassionate, but I want you to remember just several things. Number one, I want you to remember, who is my neighbor? Remember the Samaritan? Who is your neighbor? Your neighbor isn't the person that is right next door. That isn't what he's talking about. Your neighbor is whoever is hurting. It may be somebody up in the hospital laying there struggling. It may be a person who's just lost his job and needs some help. It may be an older person that, you know, could use the lawn mowed and maybe a sprinkler system fixed. It may be that bum down on the street that seems like is worthless, and yet God turns around and he said, I want you to see him as your neighbor. I want you to reach out and touch him. My wife and I, we had gone and picked up some lunch meat and some other things. And anyway, we were going down to have this picnic, and so we went down to the park. And we saw this lady off to the side, and we looked at her, and Jenny and I both looked at each other and said, you know something, let's take these sandwiches that we fixed, and let's go over and invite her to have some of it. You see, compassion turns around and reaches down to even the enemy. I want you this morning, preaching is supposed to grab a hold of you and me and do something. But here's what I want us to do this Thanksgiving, this season of Christmas. I want us to think about seeing what God sees. I want you to have the kind of compassion that looks like pure religion, that turns around and sees the widow and the orphan, but more than the widow and the orphan, I want you to see even that person who you don't like. You have that kind of a person anywhere in your life? Did you know what God's calling us to this Thanksgiving? He said, if I was willing to take and have these spikes put in my wrists and in my feet, in order as I looked out on the crowd and say, oh God, forgive them, they know not what they're doing. Did you know that you and I are supposed to look out at the person that has just kind of ticked you, that you haven't really cared for very much? Or maybe that bum that doesn't dress the way you dress and looks kind of scrubby. What God's calling each and every one of us to do is to remember the hurting. To enter into their pain. Don't just think about it. Don't just pray about it. I want you and me to touch this Thanksgiving, this Christmas, throughout the year. I want you to think about, who is it that God says is your neighbor? I want you and me to look around and I want us to remember, what is pure religion anyway? Pure religion is when you see the orphan, you when you see the widow, when you see that person who is in prison, when you see that person who is in the nursing home, when you see that person in the hospital, when you see that person who is just absolutely lonely, even when you walk in here, you sit in the same pew all the time. Yep. Have you ever thought about somebody who has visited? My wife and I, our church had given us a trip up to Vancouver, and so we were up there, and we went to this Baptist church. I'll never forget, it was packed out. There was a group of people that were joining the church. Did you know, as I sat through that service, not one person said hi to us? Not one person said welcome? As a matter of fact, it blew my mind, because the pastor had this group of people that were joining the church come forward. And you know what happened at the end of the service when he had them come forward? He went out the door the other way to greet the people as they were leaving. You know what the rest of the congregation did? The same thing. I was sitting there dumbfounded thinking, what? You aren't rushing forward and saying, welcome to our church. Thank you for joining. No. They let them stand there. A few people said, hi. Glad you're a part of us. What God is saying to you and to me is he's saying, listen, I want you to touch the lives of people, even to those who have hurt you. And it calls you and me to not only remember our neighbor, remember what pure religion really is, and that's to reach out. Remember what action God has called you to. And then he turns around and he says, how in the world do you do that? You know how? Acts 1:8. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I have given you power so that you will go out. After the Holy Spirit has come, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Did you know Samaria was that across the track type of people? God isn't just telling this church, he's telling you and me, that we're supposed to be compassionate to each other. Yes, we're supposed to do that. But we are to be compassionate to that person who isn't coming here, to that person who's down on the street and has a need. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you. We want to thank you that you've called us to compassion, to lift up our eyes and look and see the fields white and the harvest. I want to thank you, Lord, for what you want to do in the lives of each of us. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.